So today we are very fortunate that we are having Her Grace Kalasudha Mataji to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we are very blessed to have her on this conference call. So now I would like to hand over the call to Mataji. Now you can take over, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Madhirayet Nashta Prayeshu Natyam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhagati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govinda Namo Namaha Nama Pankajanabhaya Nama Pankajamaline Nama Pankajanatraya Namaste Pankajangraye Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 19, Text 50.
Name Bhaktash Chaturvedi Mad Bhaktah Shvapacha Priyaha Tasmai Deyam Tato Grahyam Sacha Pujyo Yathahyaham.
Translation. Lord Krishna said, even though a person is a learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. Even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activities or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am. Text 51.
Ei shloka pari duhare koilo alingon, kripate duhara mathai dhorilo charon.
Translation. After reciting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the two brothers, and out of his causeless mercy, he placed his feet on their heads. Text 52.
Prabhu kripa paya duhe dui hata juri dino hana stuti kore binoyo achari.
Translation. After receiving the Lord's causeless mercy, the two brothers folded their hands and in great humility offered the following prayers unto the Lord.
Namo Mahavatanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauradvishe Namaha.
O most munificent incarnation, you are Krishna himself appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Text 54. We offer our respectful obeisances unto that merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has converted all three worlds which were maddened by ignorance and saved them from the diseased condition by making them mad with the nectar from the treasure house of love of God. Let us take shelter of that personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose activities are wonderful. Om Jnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Jayapataka Swamini Dinamine Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gorakatha Dhammadaya Nagara Gramatarine Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very beautiful chapter where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just left Vrindavan and he has arrived at Prayag, Allahabad, at the Triveni. And here, Srila Rupa Goswami, along with his brother, Anupam Malik, who is also known as Sri Vallabha, both these brothers are meeting with Mahaprabhu. And here at Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a lot of instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami in his further services, in his future services. And here is where he has been given his lifetime mission of going to Vrindavan, writing the scriptures, and also re-excavating the holy places in Vrindavan Dham. So these two were the instructions given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami. And Mahaprabhu, when the first thing that Mahaprabhu told Sri Rupa Goswami, because Rupa Goswami, when the first time when Sanatan and Rupa had met Mahaprabhu, at that time they didn't even consider themselves worthy of meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were so humble. Although born of very high family, but they, because they were serving the kingdom of Nawab Hussain Shah, a Mohammedan ruler, and because they were there and serving them, serving this Muslim ruler, Sanatan and Rupa Goswami considered themselves to be very, very fallen. And because of this reason, here in Prayag, when Mahaprabhu met with Rupa, this is the first verse that Lord Chaitanya is quoting. And this particular verse that we read, this text 50, is actually compiled by Srila Sanatan Goswami. And it is from the Hari Bhakti Vilas that Mahaprabhu first quotes to Srila Rupa Goswami about the position of a pure devotee of the Lord. The position of a pure devotee of the Lord is not described. It does not entail to what family lineage they belong to. And in fact, Mahaprabhu is quoting here from Hari Bhakti Vilas, which says that even though they may be Chaturvedi means they know the four Vedas, the knower of the four Vedas, you know, great Sanskrit pundits or scholars, they may be of any of kind of lineage like that, but if they do not have any kind of attachment to pure devotional service, then, you know, Mahaprabhu is saying that this is of no use. But even though a person may be born in the family of dog eaters, but if he is a pure devotee, you know, then Mahaprabhu says that, you know, this verse describes that they are very, very dear to me. So, and he says in the end that such devotees are as worshipable as I am. Yatha hi aham means as worshipable as I am. What is the position of the pure devotee? I mean, to what extent Krishna adores and admires and worships his devotees? You know, that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada says that the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that Krishna, you know, we are struggling to serve Krishna. We are, you know, always in a, in the contaminated state. We are forcing ourselves, you know, to render devotional service. But in the stage that Srila Prabhupada or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, all of these acharyas, the kind of level that they are in, or even the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, our immediate Guru Vargas, we can see that they actually have to remind themselves to come down from the transcendental platform and to think also in terms of, you know, taking care of their body and, you know, doing the minimum requirements of the bodily requirements that they have. They have to remind themselves to do that. For us, in this contaminated state that we are in, we have to remind ourselves to render devotional service. But for pure devotees, it is the other way around. They have to remind themselves to take care of their bodies. And for them, the spontaneous love for Krishna, spontaneous way to render service to Krishna, that is their only focus. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, his disciples have written, Srila Prabhupada actually glorifies Sri Srila Prabhupada in one of his Vyasa Pujas, saying that my Guru Maharaj had to be reminded, you know, to take a bath and to, you know, to just take care of the minimum requirements of the body. You know, because he was always on such a high, elevated, transcendental platform that these minimum bodily requirements, they had to be reminded, please, now it is your prasadam time, please come and eat something. Because they would be so absorbed in the transcendental platform. That is the position. We see even our acharyas nowadays, how much are they doing for simply to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada? They do not care for their own physical body. They do not care for anything other than just pure, unalloyed, unmotivated, unadulterated devotional service to Srila Prabhupada. That is the, you know, that is the level of pure devotional service. How much they are dedicated, how much they are just not concerned at all about themselves. So such devotees are actually, you know, even Krishna is actually looking for opportunities to serve such great pure devotees. Just like how these devotees have given everything to serving Krishna and their spiritual masters, similarly, Krishna also has become completely bound by the love of such devotees. They have completely bound Krishna, and there's no way that Krishna can ever, there's no escape route for Krishna. You know, Krishna says that if anyone comes to me for asking bhukti means material enjoyment, or mukti, liberation. So I give that very easily. But if anyone asks me for bhakti, then I am in a confusion. Because if I give bhakti means, I have to give myself to that person. That is the position of the pure devotee. That Krishna actually gives himself to that person. So when we can, you know, follow in the footsteps of such great devotees, then Krishna, you know, literally says that such people have purchased me. Pure devotees have purchased me by their love. So imagine, you know, we just have now finished the most glorious month of Kartik. In this month of Kartik, we worship Lord Damodar. And Damodar Leela, it is said that it is the most beloved pastime of Srimati Radharani. Why is it so dear to Srimati Radharani and to all the devotees, in fact? Why is this pastime so dear to especially Srimati Radharani? It is because it is explained that this is the only pastime that Krishna himself is bound. Because in every other leela, Krishna is the one who gives liberation. He is the one who is, you know, freeing everybody. But in this pastime alone is the only time when Krishna himself is bound. And even while being bound, he is giving so much of pleasure to his dear devotees. So that is why this pastime is so glorious, that the art of binding Krishna is given. It is there. It's like an open secret. We just have to know the process by which we can bind Krishna. And now, just because the month of Kartik is over, it does not mean that, you know, for devotees, Srila Prabhupada says, every day is the month of Kartik. Every day of the year can be the month of Kartik. It just depends on how we are perceiving each day. You know, when in the month of Kartik, we take extra care in lighting a lamp, you know, and doing extra devotional service. But the main thing about Kartik, Srila Prabhupada says, is that it is a month of sale and discount. But Prabhupada says that devotees are like regular customers. You know, in the mall, whether there be, a sale season or normal season, the regular customers will always go to that same mall. But the sale is there for attracting new customers. So that is why Kartik month is so glorious, because it gives the devotees an opportunity to share Krishna with others, to give Krishna to others. So how much are we able to extend the love of Krishna to others and give them the taste so that they can worship Krishna and bring Krishna into their lives every day of the year, not just, so the Kartik is like the beginning, it's just an initiation into spiritual life. So that is the glory of Kartik. And for us, when Kartik is over, every day can continue to be like Kartik if we can just remember that same vigor with which we would chant the holy names, by which we would render devotional service, by which we would share Krishna consciousness. If we can carry that on throughout the entire year, that is what will be most pleasing to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. So here, Mahaprabhu is saying, by quoting this verse from, very beautiful verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas, that how Lord Chaitanya and Krishna himself is perceiving of his own devotees. What is the position of devotees in Krishna's eyes? So Krishna is saying that such devotees are as worshipable as myself. I myself worship devotees. That is the position of devotees. So after reciting this verse, text 51, Mahaprabhu embraced both the brothers, Rupa and Anupama. He embraced both the brothers, and out of his causeless mercy, he placed his two lotus feet upon their heads. What amazing mercy and what great position have these pure devotees achieved, that they are able to place their heads at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That soft lotus feet is placed on their heads. That is the perfection of life, to be able to get the dust of the lotus feet of, you know, the Lord upon our heads. Such amazing mercy. And then, after receiving the Lord's mercy, both the brothers folded their hands, and in great humility, with Vinaya, here Mahaprabhu is saying, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Vinaya, Vinaya means with utter submission, with great humility, both the brothers, they submitted themselves by offering this following prayer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this most glorious prayer of Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gaurat Vishe Namaha. This most beautiful prayer was actually phrased by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. And when Mahaprabhu, you know, heard this prayer, he was extremely pleased by the devotion of Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. And till today, Srila Prabhupada inculcated this prayer as the pranam mantra, or the prayer with which we offer obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. And therefore, he inculcated this pranam mantra of Sri Chaitanya when we offer bhoga to Krishna. This is one of the mantras that we chant as an offering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the mercy of Rupa Goswami, we have this beautiful mantra in front of us, which means, O most munificent incarnation. You know, there's a very specific reason why is Rupa Goswami calling Mahaprabhu as Mahavadanyaya. Namo, Mahavadanyaya. Namo means I offer my obeisances to. And Mahavadanyaya. Vadanyaya means munificent. And Mahavadanyaya means most munificent. Why is Srila Rupa Goswami addressing Mahaprabhu as the most munificent incarnation? Is because that even Krishna, you know, when Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he spoke the Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield of Kurukshetra to Arjuna, when Krishna himself spoke, you know, this month, actually right after Kartik, this month is, you know, the next month actually is coming up is Gita Jayanti, when we, you know, celebrate this Gita Jayanti, and this month is called as the Keshava Mass because Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita in this month. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has told Arjuna, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vaja Aham Tvam Sarvatapebhyo Mokshe Shami Masuchaha. Krishna is saying that abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto me. I will free you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So Krishna is saying that, yes, I will free you from all sinful reactions. You do not fear, but there is a condition. Krishna will simply not come and free us from all sinful reactions if you just go and stand in front of him. No, there is a condition that Krishna has kept. The condition is that we have to abandon all varieties of religion. And we have to surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Only when you come and surrender unto me, that's when I will take care of you. I will free you from all your sinful reactions and grant you fearlessness. So here, Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, he is saying that I will do that, but he has kept a condition. Before, if we surrender first to Krishna, then will Krishna take care of us. But Lord Chaitanya, he is not bothered if anyone surrenders to him, or if anyone hits him, or if anyone rejects Mahaprabhu, if anyone is, you know, the most sinful. Even to such people, Lord Chaitanya is freely distributing Krishna prema without any conditions. Without any prerequisites, Lord Chaitanya is giving the mercy. Unconditional. There is no need for any reason. Mahaprabhu is actually looking for an excuse to give us the mercy. He is so merciful. He is not even seeing any qualification, whether one is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Chandala. Nothing Lord Chaitanya is seeing, whether there's a, you know, child, woman, old man, young, nothing. Lord Chaitanya is not seeing anything. Without any discrimination, Lord Chaitanya is giving out Krishna prema. This Krishna prema is Brahmara Durlabha prema. It is even Durlabh for Lord Brahma himself. And that prema, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is freely distributing. Can there be anyone more merciful than such a personality? And that is the reason why Srila Rupa Goswami is addressing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Mahavadanyaya. But you are the most munificent. Munificent means it is a superlative adjective, which means the most, most merciful, means there's nothing beyond. No other word in the dictionary can describe, you know, someone close to such a personality. There's no word beyond this kind of adjective that can be used for, you know, describing such a personality. That is the reason why he is called as the most munificent, Mahavadanyaya. Why? Because you are giving Krishna Prema Pradayate. You are just freely, you know, giving the Krishna Prema. You are giving us Krishna Prema Pradayate. You are just freely distributing the pure Krishna Prema, pure love for Krishna. And Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya. You are Krishna himself. Krishnaya means Krishna himself, who has come as Krishna Chaitanya. Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya. So you are Krishna himself, who has come as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Namne Gaurat Vishe Namaha. And Gaurat Vishe means you have assumed the golden complexion of the most merciful personality, who is compassion personified, Srimati Radharani. You have taken on her mood and her golden complexion. Gaurat Vishe means her golden complexion and her most merciful mood. You have taken that on and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna. Namne Gaurat Vishe Namaha. That you are distributing the pure love of Krishna by chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anybody who simply chants these holy names, you're freely giving this out. You know, in the previous ages, it is not that in this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was not available in the previous ages. It was. But the way they would chant it is in the form of secret mantras. They were not allowed to, you know, only Brahmana men were allowed to chant this Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and that too, not anywhere and everywhere, only when they would take bath in a holy river, they would, you know, like how nowadays we chant Gayatri as secret mantras, so like that, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in the previous yugas, it used to be chanted like that. It was a secret mantra. But this secret mantra has been brought down, Golokera Premadhana, Harinama Sankirtana. So this Mahaprabhu is only, he has come down from Sri Goloka Vrindavan Dham and he has brought down this holy name and is freely distributing. Only Krishna himself can do that. And Krishna himself in the mood, when he is combined with the most merciful Srimati Radharani, both of them together have this potency of giving out this Krishna Prem. So that is why Srila Rupa Goswami Pal has so beautifully composed this very, very beautiful mantra and glorified Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the most amazing, the most munificent verse that can ever be to glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We recite it every single day and we should be ever, ever grateful to Srila Rupa Goswami for giving us this most, most amazing, most mesmerizing verse in glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appropriately. And then in the last verse that we read today, text 54, is stressing the same verse that Rupa Goswami just quoted himself. He quoted that verse himself in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the text 54 is a verse that is found in Sri Govinda Lila Amrita, and that verse reads, we offer our respectful obeisances unto that merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead who has converted all three worlds which were maddened by ignorance and saved them from their diseased condition by making them mad with the nectar from the treasure house of love of God. Let us take full shelter of that Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose activities are wonderful. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he is saying that, yes, I am glorifying myself. You know, I have just now composed this verse, Namo Mahavadanyaya. I did compose this verse because I know in my heart that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then he is again giving Shastric reference also. And he is quoting this verse from Sri Govinda Lilamrita, where it is saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So if anyone would have any iota of doubt in their mind on the words of Srila Rupa Goswami, then he is saying that for such doubting minds, we have even Shastric quotation that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And just like how we have Sadhu, Guru and Shastra, so Srila Rupa Goswami is giving that balance also. He is giving us that check system that yes, he himself is saying, even the Shastra is also saying the same thing. So like this, we understand that how our acharyas have not only just talked something out of sentiment, but it is proven. It is a proof that yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So we are ever so grateful to Srila Rupa Goswami, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami for giving us all this beautiful literature. And then in the later chapters, it will be revealed how, Mahaprabhu interacts with Srila Sanatan Goswami, instructs him to join Rupa Goswami. You know, because Mahaprabhu himself, he actually left only 8 verses. Mahaprabhu did not even write any book. Nothing Lord Chaitanya wrote. In fact, there was one time when Lord Chaitanya was studying, and it is explained that when he was studying, there was one friend of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who was also a very learned scholar, and Mahaprabhu had written some, you know, logic and lot of grammar. He had written an entire book on that. And then this friend of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had also, on the same topic, he had also written a book. And, you know, when they were on the boat, they were going to their school. This is in Mahaprabhu's youthful pastimes. And when they were crossing the Ganges, that time, Mahaprabhu looked, he saw his friend was carrying this book, and Mahaprabhu said, "Can I see?" And then this friend said, "Oh, I see you also written a book, can I see?" So then this friend first started reading the book, and he got very sad because he saw that Mahaprabhu's writing was definitely much, much more, upper level, like it was a very high level, book that Mahaprabhu had written, and he became very sad, although it was on the same subject matter. And the friend became very sad, and then Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are you so sad?" He said, "Well, I also wrote the same thing, and, you know, yours is much better than what my writing is." And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, really? Well, I won't let that come in the way of our friendship." And Mahaprabhu immediately took his own writing, and he tore it into pieces, and he just immersed it into the Ganges. And this friend was shocked. This friend who used to always, have a little grudge against Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya was, of course, the best student in the class. So this friend always had a grudge, but Lord Chaitanya, seeing the selfless act of Lord Chaitanya, that Lord Chaitanya was not even concerned for his own writing to become famous or anything like that. He considered his relationship to be much more, higher than any writing that Mahaprabhu had himself written. So this friend's heart was completely moved, and he became an ardent friend of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu himself, you know, we all know that he left only the Shikshashtakam for us, the 8 verses, you know, starting from Chetodarpana Marjanam. That's the only 8 verses that Lord Chaitanya himself has written. There's nothing else that Mahaprabhu has written, you know, no book. But whatever Shastra that we read, like Hari Bhakti Vilas, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, we'll see in the in this later verses, in this very chapter, Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Srila Rupa Goswami on how to write the Nectar of Devotion. So all of this has been instructed directly by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that these books are available to all of us. It is by the instructions that Mahaprabhu gave to Rupa Goswami that Rupa Goswami went ahead and wrote all these books. The Vrindavan that we see today is because of what Rupa Goswami has done and all the Goswamis have done under the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So our eternal gratitude to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Srila Rupa Goswami, to all the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, to Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has so amazingly translated and given His amazing Bhaktivedanta purports to all of us, so that we can, you know, live the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not just get a glimpse into the life, but actually lead the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, when we read these pastimes, we can see this happening in front of our own eyes. We can directly participate in these pastimes, and it is all because of the work of Srila Prabhupada, what he has done for us. So with this, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all the Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev. Such a wonderful class. We enter into Lila by your explanation, Mataji. Hari Hari Bol, Dandavat, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for the very beautiful class and explaining this most beautiful verse so nicely. It was so nice. Actually, as I always keep telling, when you give class, I think it's like we get back our life. It's so nice. I think automatically our ears get sharpened when you start speaking. So that is something I notice every time you speak. Thank you so much, Mataji. It was very, very beautiful. It was a wonderful class. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I'm ever grateful to you for all the opportunities that you give. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. May I ask the question?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I've always wanted to get a little more straight in my mind.
Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, can you still hear me?
Yes, now I can. Please continue.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The difference between, or the contrast between, you know, the mercy, the Mahavaranyaya that Lord Chaitanya is, and that of Krishna when he came 5,000 years ago. You know, the distinction has always been a little fuzzy for me, and I know you tried to make that distinction, and unfortunately I had a little phone issue, and so in the middle of your explanation, I got cut off. But I know you were saying that Krishna, he required full surrender, and I guess Lord Chaitanya requires, I guess, no surrender at all. So when we say this, though, when we say that Krishna requires full surrender, I think I'm not really that clear about what Krishna was requiring versus what Lord Chaitanya was requiring.
Okay.
Because, you know, Krishna is known as being so, so merciful also.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So if I could, maybe if you could try to clear
sure.
my fuzziness up a little bit. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you for that very nice question. Yes, Krishna does say that, you know, he is, there is no end to even Krishna's mercy. For sure, there's no doubt about that.
Uh-huh.
But with Krishna, what happens is that, you know, there are, you know, we have Lord Ram, we have Lord Krishna, and we have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there is an analogy that has been given amongst the difference between the three of them. I'll try to explain that. So Lord Ram, he is Maryada Purushottam. You know, he is, he doesn't have no partiality whatsoever. You know, whether it be his own citizens or his own brothers or his own wife, there is no, partiality that in the justice of Lord Ram. You know, just because some of his own citizens, they doubted on the character of Mother Sita, Lord Ram, you know, sent her into exile. So that is, you know, the nature of Lord Ram, you know. So Lord Ram, he is, that is his, solid nature, that he won't be, you know, no partiality. You can't see any kind of partiality between the character of Lord, in the character of Lord Ram. Now let's try to analyze the character of Krishna. Krishna, he is always very partial to his devotees. There's no doubt about that, you know. So Lord Krishna, when it came that when, you know, Vidura invited Krishna, and even Duryodhana invited Krishna, you know, when Krishna came as Shantidut before the Battle of Kurukshetra to Hastinapur, at that time, Vidura invited Krishna to lunch, and also Duryodhan invited Krishna to lunch. But Duryodhan's offer was, you know, very, Krishna just rejected that offer. He said, no, you are not my friend, nor are you, you know, anything to do with, you don't like me, so therefore I'm not going to dine with you. I will go and dine with Vidura. Krishna immediately straight outright rejected, even though Duryodhana came with the proposal of inviting Krishna to lunch. Krishna did not accept because he said that you are not my friend. So Krishna is very partial to his devotees because Krishna says, "Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam tathaiva bhajamyaham." That Krishna is saying that as I surrender unto me, I will reward them accordingly. If you are surrendering 10% to me, I will reward you 10%. But of course, that 10% will be my 10%. Like, you know, it will definitely more than what we are doing. But Krishna does reciprocate to the amount of, you know, surrender that we do to him. You know, so he is always very particular on that. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita itself that, yes, I am not partial to anyone. You know, I am sama sarvesha bhuteshu. Krishna says that I am equal to all living entities. But in the same verse, Krishna is saying, but those who are my devotees, I give them special favor. He himself is saying that. And to that purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna is partial to his devotees. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so there's no need for any logic to that. He is Swarat, he is independent. He can do what he wants to do. So no one can question that. So Krishna himself is saying, yes, I don't see any discrimination in giving air to everyone to breathe. I will give rain to everyone. You know, the rain will not discriminate within, you know, the reservoir of water or a dry land. It rains everywhere. But Krishna gives that analogy, but he says, but those who are my devotees, I give special favor to them. So Krishna is Prem Parayan, it is said. That wherever there is prema, Krishna will go towards that. Whether it, you know, is justified or not. There is no need for justification on that. It is Krishna's ultimate independent choice. So he is partial. Now let's see the character of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a person, is a person who is known as Kripa Parayan. Kripa Parayan means it is even above than prema. Prema means you love me, so I love you. Kripa means I don't deserve it, but you are giving me. That is Kripa. So that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya is not seeing who is deserving, who is not deserving, who is qualified, who is not qualified. Lord Chaitanya is simply looking for an excuse to give us the mercy. That is Kripa Parayan. That is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. All three of them are Krishna. Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna himself, and Lord Ram. All three of them are Krishna himself. But still, the three of them have three different personalities. So Lord Chaitanya, he has no conditions. Krishna has given a condition that, yes, you first surrender to me, then I will take care of you. You have to come to me first. Like Lord, you know, even during the Damodar Leela, the two-finger difference, the greatest lesson that we learn is that two-finger signifies our effort and the mercy of Krishna. That unless we put in our effort, Krishna's mercy will not come. That is the significance of the two fingers. So first step has to come from us. Then Krishna will take 10 of his steps towards us. But that first step has to come from us. That is what Krishna wants. But Lord Chaitanya, that first step also he doesn't want. He will come to us even if we don't want it. That is Mahaprabhu's mercy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so those two fingers that Krishna requires first, it just refers to the fact that we have to make a first step, but does it require complete purification also, or just that we make that initial endeavor and then he will, you know, reciprocate? There'll be the back and forth.
Of course, it doesn't mean that it is always 100% in the first step itself. No. No.
No. No, no, I'm saying 100% before he, like, you know, accepts us.
Even if there is one step, Krishna will definitely reciprocate to us based on that. Because we cannot think that, you know, yes, we have, you know, we have 100% surrender to Krishna. We don't. And that is why our saving grace in this age of Kali Yuga, our saving grace is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is our saving grace. Because if it was just Krishna, then yes, only if we have 10%, Krishna will reciprocate only with that 10%. You know, and unless we come to 100%, we won't be 100%, you know, getting, or you know, the opportunities to serve Krishna. But with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by our acharyas, the agents of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have direct access to the treasure house of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, to Krishna Prem. You know, imagine, you know, being in so many different forms of life, like even in the woman body, we are able to do so much amazing service of touching the deity. This is unheard of in the previous ages. You know, we cannot even access such mercy. But this all is possible because of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Combine that with Krishna's mercy, combine that with the mercy of the Guru Vargas, and, you know, everything combined together. But yes, that Krishna's mercy is there, definitely, and it depends on how much, you know, we are putting our feet forward, and then based on that, Krishna reciprocates. So to answer your question about whether Krishna has to wait, you know, whether he waits for us to surrender 100%, in the previous ages, yes, he would have to wait for 100%, only then he will also give himself 100%. But if in the previous ages, if people were giving themselves 10%, Krishna would also reciprocate with them 10%. Mm-hmm. But here in this age, for us, we have the combination of Mahaprabhu as well as Krishna. So we are safe.
So Mahaprabhu means even with 0% coming from our side, he is giving 100% in the form of Maha Mantra.
That's right.
So that's clearer. And then to contrast those two personalities with Lord Ram, I know you were saying that he was seeing, there was zero partiality.
Yeah, because he always follows and abides by rules. So Lord Ram is called as Niyam Parayan. Niyama means rule. So he is known as Niyam Parayan. He will not go, you know, against the rule. He will always go and abide by the rules. That is Lord Ram.
Yeah, even though his love, like you were saying, you know, even Sita did not receive partiality. But because, even though she didn't receive partiality, but because, you know, his love for her was deeper than for anybody else, having to treat her like anybody else gave him so much pain because his love was greater, even though there was no partiality, right?
I guess
I was just trying to make the point that even though he treated her like everyone else, that doesn't mean that his love for her was not greater than for anybody else. His love for her was greater than for anybody else.
It was, because she was on that level that, you know, she could take that decision of Lord Ram and still live her life, you know? So that shows that how much there was a mutual love amongst both of them, that they could understand each other, why they were doing what they were doing, you know?
Also, this is a little bit tangential, but, you know, you did bring up the fact that that Krishna did not accept Duryodhana's invitation. So if he did not accept Duryodhana's invitation, then why, because it's often compared, you know, the banana skins that Vidura gave to Krishna, and as opposed to the big feast that Duryodhana gave, yet Krishna went for the meager. Yeah. So if Duryodhana did not accept the invitation, then how come Duryodhana had made that big feast?
Well, Duryodhana wanted to actually show that off to Krishna, and Krishna is in the, you know, as Paramatma in everyone's heart, Krishna knew the intention with which, you know, Duryodhana was calling him and the intention with which Vidura was calling. So there was no case of, you know, anyone cheating with Krishna. You know, Krishna, although Duryodhana had put up such a big feast, he thought that he is going to actually, you know, Duryodhana's intention was to, you know, bribe his way out of this situation, basically, to just impress Krishna with all this, you know, great pomp and all this great opulence and, you know, so get him to become obligatory towards Duryodhana so that, you know, because he's given him a lunch and all of that, and then, you know, say, okay, this is what I want and you better go tell this to the Pandavas. He thought of doing it in a very, you know, a diplomatic
manipulative. So Krishna rejected him after he had already prepared the feast then.
Yes.
Not before he prepared. Okay, because I was going to say, you know, it doesn't make sense. He's already been rejected. Why would he then afterward make the feast? But you're saying Duryodhana prepared that feast trying to manipulate Krishna to come to his side.
Yeah.
And then afterward, Krishna said, no, I'm going to Vidura.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Mataji. As usual, it's like immensely relishable. Thank you so much for clearing up a fuzziness that's been with me for all these so many years. With this distinction between the mercy.
Thank you for allowing me to be some service to you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. Thank you so much, as usual.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Any more comments, questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, thank you so much, Mataji, for such a wonderful class and discussion that you told about the difference between Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, and Lord Chaitanya. So thank you so much, Mataji. It's so nectarian to hear. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Very wonderful class. Yes, Mataji, but I have a question. I don't know whether it is correct or not, but I want to ask you, right now we just had discussion about Lord Ram, Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So if Lord Chaitanya is so merciful than Krishna, so then why don't we get initiation in the name of Lord Chaitanya or Lord Gauranga like that? Why we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra?
We chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what do we chant?
No. Why we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, why don't we chant Lord Chaitanya's name? Because Chaitanya is so merciful than Krishna. So that is my question. I don't know whether it is correct or not, but just it came in my mind, that's why I'm asking.
Sure, thank you, Divya Manjari Mataji, for your question. But we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has told us to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If Lord Chaitanya would tell us to chant any other mantra, we would chant any other mantra. But Mahaprabhu himself has told us to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, so we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And before we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, because while we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we commit a lot of offenses. So to eradicate those offenses and to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in a more pure way, Srila Prabhupada has recommended that we should chant the Panchatattva Pranam Mantra, which is Lord Chaitanya's Pranam Mantra. So we chant that Pranam Mantra to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that we can chant the holy name, the Mahamantra, which is given for this Kali Yuga, which was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself to us. So because Mahaprabhu gave us this Mahamantra, we chant this Mahamantra.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. I know this, but just this came in my mind. That's why I asked.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Any more questions? All right, so if there's no more questions, can we go ahead and end the call?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you all so much again. Thank you for the very beautiful discussion. I can end the call now. Vancha kalpataru vyascha kripa sandhu vyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha anantakoti vaishnav vrinda ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Sri Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai Her Grace Kala Sudha Mata Ji Ki Jai.
Yeah.
All glory.
Ananda Koti.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vrinda. Hare
Thank you very much.